Hello, if you just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch. Taking your questions in studio this evening, we've got Katrin Ellenborgen from Sanlam Private Wealth. And to taking questions, we might be joined later as well. But most important, send those questions through to us, SMS 41392, email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using hashtag Stockwatch. Greg, evening. Thanks for joining us. Another mostly red day in the market, Toppy and Indy off almost 0.5%. Financials under pressure. Resi up 0.4%. Bazaar under 15%. To a large degree, made to look a lot better by the spike in the Naspers share price on the news of the unbundling of MultiChoice.
Yeah, most of the day we were down about 600 points. Yeah. And then suddenly, you know, we gained about 400 points on the Naspers. And Naspers, it was extremely volatile when that information came off, because from being down about 40-odd rands, Naspers shot up 100 rand. And then, but it just finished the day up about 20-odd rand there on, you know. MultiChoice is about 4% of our sum of the parts of...
Yeah. And it's first. One of the two revenue or profit generators. Obviously, Tencent makes profit. Mail.ru makes a little bit, and then MultiChoice. I suppose the board of Naspers has been talking about ways to unlock value. This is one of them, you know, they got Media24, but I don't know how profitable that is. This almost was an obvious solution for them.
Yes, well, look, this one, because it's, you know, it was their original cash cow, and it gave them the money to spend the money buying Tencent and that, so it has been. So for the print assets, I don't know whether you'll, you know, be able to list those at what price as well, whether there'll be a lot. Well, you could list them and give them to the shareholders, but sure. I don't know whether the whole object of unbundling these shares is to hopefully these companies stand on their own and do well for the Naspers shareholders. But the company themselves said that they would continue to look to unbundle other businesses. So it's a question of watch this space.
Is Naspers attractive with that process in mind, and at the current price of around 3,100, still at deep discount to just the Tencent?
Well, that's the thing. I think it is. You were getting the rest of the businesses for nothing, you know. So, and then to have such a big discount to Tencent, although that discount is narrowed because of Tencent's price falling quite sharply, it's still quite attractive, because I think that it's, you know, the businesses that Tencent are involved in and the businesses that Naspers have spent a lot of money on are starting now to pay dividends. I think OLX is actually making a profit now, you know, so they've invested a lot of money and they've been quite good. They spent $600 million investing in Flipkart, in which Amazon took them out now at $2.2 billion. So they're sitting with, they sold 2% of the Tencent shares, so they're sitting with a nice pile of cash in US dollars.
Yeah, in US dollars, which they can deploy. They're unlocking some value, that the Naspers story might be turning good again. Rhodes Food Group was a stock I didn't like at IPO, and I couldn't have been more wrong if I tried. It had a really good run. A weak trading update coming from them. The drought locally, offshore not going as great, just not a good number. Stock down 10%?
Yes. Well, look, 10%, you know, the export numbers were very poor, that was. But, you know, you can be forgiven for the drought. It's beyond anybody's thing. And, you know, I read today Western Cape dams are at 70% now. So that's hopefully a thing of the past. But I think a big thing is that in South Africa, and, you know, it's like watching a slow train crash at the moment. You know, there's really nothing exciting in the market, and our economic situation doesn't help. But I think people are repricing the market, and they're starting to, you know, really look at what to pay for earnings, and not prepared to pay sort of 22, 23 times earnings any longer. And you've seen that Aspen was about 22, and now it's come down to about 12.
Aspen's been 35 at a point when it was north of 400. Cool. Questions coming through around Aspen. Now it's around 200. Now it's on 12. Yeah, it's not going to be doing that 30, 40% growth we used to see in days gone by. But at 12, does it become attractive?
Well, I think it's a little bit too early. I think we need to see. There's been some massive, massive selling. So the bottom line is that they... you know, they need to deleverage their business further. The balance sheet, you know, is such that I don't think they can fund another acquisition now without selling some other businesses. I was surprised where people thought that they didn't get a decent enough price on the infant milk business, because they, I thought it was, what, 25 times that they got for the business.
Yeah, $800 million.
Yeah, so I thought, and for the market to have expected a lot more, I think was just irrational. But they still need to sell a few more businesses, I think. And that whole business, you know, there's a global movement against prices of medicine. And where in the past it was companies like Aspen were able to buy these medicines close to coming out of patent and make generic versions and were able to get good and increase the price of medication every year. You know, then of course they've still got, I'm not sure if that case is still ongoing with the European Union with them about one of their drugs.
Yes.
You know, they want to fine them for what they call price gouging. So I don't think you're able to put through the price increases that you were able to in the past. So yes, it does, you know, first looking at the price at these 12 times earnings, does it make any sense? But I would be cautious first.
It's a business that in many senses is maturing. And part of that maturing is you know, that their strategy over the last decade or so has been, as you say, those late stage drugs, take them into generic, but also very acquisitive. And now they're almost in a sense working out which bits fit best, getting rid of some to generate some cash to pay down debt. And in a year or three, they could look very different to how they look today.
No, they could, but they certainly do need to sell some more companies that they have acquired over the years. They've been very, very acquisitive over the years, you know, bought lots of businesses.
Yeah.
And I think the whole portfolio needs a complete relook, and they will look to focus. I think, you know, the infant milk business was about 7% of revenue or something.
Yeah, maybe even only like, 5%. It was single digit.
Yes, like that. But I think they got a good price for that. But I think they still need to, you know, I don't know if the balance sheet supports another big acquisition in its current form.
Linda's asking, the NASPAS unbundling, will NASPAS shareholders receive free multi-choice shares? Linda, the answer is yes. We don't know what the ratio will be, but if you hold the NASPAS on specified date, we haven't been told what that date is, except it's second half of their financial year, you will then receive the multi-choice shares, unless of course you're in the BEE scheme already. Imperial also gave details around their splitting. They're going to keep logistics one side. Motus, which is their motor vehicle, will then be unbundled separately. That'll happen late November. Is a potential value unlock here?
Well, I think so. So Imperial Holdings themselves will be renamed Imperial Logistics.
Mm-hmm.
That's the business that I personally like. The other business, the Motors business, you know, imports a lot of vehicles, and you're very much at the mercy of the exchange rate and things like that. And of course, our economy is not doing well at the moment. So, but South Africans always find money from somewhere to buy new cars.
they usually have your bank.
a love affair with motor vehicles. But so I like the logistics businesses and some of those offshore businesses, particularly in Germany, that they have in that business. So I do think that the split for the company will be very beneficial for both sides. So there will be people who will, so as a shareholder, you'll land up with both. And but I would say for me, the more exciting part of the business is the logistics, but not to, you know, the Motors business is a very serious business.
Sure. And
it's a powerhouse in the motor industry. So it will be, but of course it's always, you know, at the mercy of the exchange rate and what, you know, because they import a lot of this.
Yeah, whereas the Imperial Logistics actually has some counterplay to the exchange rate with the European and other assets, which sort of offset. So they in the olden days, they used to, if the currency weakened, it would hurt the motor, but it would benefit here. Now it becomes a more pure logistic and, to a degree, currency play.
Yes, correct.
Questions coming through on Signia, stock trading around 9 rands, there's about. We've certainly seen asset management and assets under management, asset managers rather, and under management, having a tough time of it. Coronation, Anchor Group, your take on
yes. Yeah. Well, look, Sydney is different to that in Cape because they're mainly in indexing,
yes.
and so really the fees that they earn depends on what happens. The market goes up and down, whereas with Anchor and that takes specific bets, and so does Coronation. So Coronation, as you know, I mean, they've got a big exposure to MTN. They had exposures previously to other companies that have. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, they, and then they have performance fees and that. So Signia shouldn't move in line as the way that a Coronation or an Anchor would move. But certainly on the basis of their business, you know, globally there's a trend towards indexation. Look, I get worried about that when the markets are at all-time highs because you really, as you're just buying in at
yeah, they're just momentum's that high.
Yes, but you know, they've built up a very strong business there, so it's not. But it's not a company that I follow very closely in terms of watching their earnings.
What, I take your point. In essence, at a simplest level, if your business is indexation, there should almost be a higher level of stability to earnings than perhaps an Anchor or a Coronation.
Absolutely,
Coronation can get it very right and get great fees, or get it wrong and not earn those fees.
Yeah, absolutely, it should be a lot more protected from the ups and downs of the market.
Question coming through from Paul on banks margining CFDs, Aspen's share price. Paul, what's essentially happening is you've got a position, and say you've got a 50,000 rand position in you mentioned Aspen. You've only put down a 10,000 rand deposit. That price falls, and the banks then want more cash from you. If you don't pony up the cash, they then have to go and sell those Aspen shares. And it's why oftentimes when we see big falls, such as EOH had late last year, Steinhoff had, MTN had, Aspen had, is there some selling pressure from these derivative traders who are essentially being kicked out of their positions, and those shares then are coming into the market because they don't have the capital for it. So that will, I mean, Greg, this is a part of a market, and that does mean, sure, there's perhaps a little bit of extra selling pressure that there wouldn't if there weren't derivative traders in the market, but those derivative traders, sometimes they're on the buying side.
Yes, but a lot of these single stock derivatives positions have been directors of companies gearing their positions up, you know, and borrowing money to buy more shares in the company. And it's that once it hits a certain level, banks are forced to sell. And I can tell you one thing, the banks learned a bitter lesson from Steinhoff. So if you have one of those single, you know, you probably won't get the ratio that you got, you know, in the past you might have got 50% against your position. It might be today a lot less, but that could also protect you in bad times as well, because, you know, when you have to be, when margin is called for and you have to be sold out, it's can be brutal.
Yeah, and it's perfectly legal for directors to leverage like that. I think it's wrong, but it is perfectly legal. It's not breaking any rules in that point. Important to point out on that. Quickly before we go to break, Famous Brands trading out down in the low 90s, almost 50% of its all-time high. They've got two concerns. One is their indigestion from an expensive, overpriced UK burger, Gourmet Burger Kitchen, which they purchased. And the second is, locally, notwithstanding a quality operation, a distressed / depressed consumer.
Depressed and distressed consumer here, but the bottom line is they overpaid for that British business.
Yeah. You know,
they paid, and at a time when the Rand was pretty weak against the EU. So, you know, that's a big problem. Now they obviously, shareholder capital has been wiped out, and that's why the shares come down so much. The South African operations are excellent operations, but as you say, the consumer is, and you know, they are in with Steers and, you know, the fast food businesses that should be weathering our economic downturn. But the fact that, you know, the share prices come down so much is actually telling you that, you know, our economy is in worse state than we believe.
Yeah, no, fair point on that. It's time for a break. Keep sending those questions through SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za.